How do you help someone that is very emotional? Welcome to Mental Health Insights. This is the podcast where we explore how to improve your mental health. My name is Craig Faust. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I look forward to diving into this with you. Excited to talk about this because so much of our series so far has been focused on your own emotions and your own emotional experience, and that knowledge is good. And many of you may have been able to use that and had some positive effects. Now it's how do we take what we've learned and be able to apply it to other people? So I remember when we talked about emotions that, you know, we have them, other people have them. And there's a high likelihood that you've run across someone in your life that has really big emotions, let's say. Or whenever they come out, they may be really loud. So if they're sad, they seem really sad. Or if they're scared, they're really scared. They're angry, they're really angry. And a lot of us have different intensities in which we feel emotion. But most of the intensity lies in how we express the emotion. So we need to talk a little bit about whenever someone else is having a big emotional experience, and we want to be able to help them through that. One, that is a good instinct. We want to be able to help regulate somebody. We want to be able to help soothe them. That's an important thing. It means that we care about them. So I would say that's the biggest thing right there, is that if you're wanting to help somebody through a big emotional experience they have, number one is you have to really care about them. You don't have to care a ton, but you have to care enough about the person to be able to show up. The thing is that if we're trying to emotionally regulate somebody and you don't actually care, they will likely be able to pick that up. And they may even interpret that as you're just trying to get them to shut up. You're just trying to get them to stop. So we want to make sure that when you're intervening with someone that is emotional, you do care about that person. This can be a stranger, right? We can care about strangers, but we have to have some type of interest in actually legitimately being there for that person. So I'd say that's number one. Number two is we got to make sure that we are in the correct headspace for that. Now, what I mean by that is you can be having your own emotional experience or reaction to the person or something that's happened, and you may be able to set aside what's going on for you for that moment until you can address it later. And if you can do that, wonderful. Or if you're not having a huge emotional experience or anything like that, then you are in the place where it may be beneficial for you to step in. But if you're having a huge emotional experience or any type of emotional experience based on something that's happened, then it may be hard because you have to regulate yourself. You have to soothe yourself, or at least keep your own emotional experience in check, or else you'd run the likelihood of allowing your own emotional experience to actually amp up the other person if you can't allow yourself to distinguish between the two. So I would say the second piece is you got to recognize that your emotional experience isn't so loud that you can't help. So I want to give you an example of what this looks like. You know, if my wife is crying in our bedroom, but I've had a really terrible day, if I can't shake that, I may still be able to show up for her if my care for her is able to give me a certain amount of leverage to be able to try to show up, to be able to pay attention. But let's say I had just too hard of a day. I can't stay in it. I can't focus there. Then I need to adjust the expectation that I have that I'm going to be able to help soothe her. It doesn't mean that I don't walk in there or try to comfort her or anything like that, but I need to adjust my expectation for how I'm actually going to be able to show up. And again, this doesn't mean that we can't try to be there for people that are going through emotional turmoil or anything like that. We just have to acknowledge that if we're in a really tough spot, we may not be able to completely show up in the way that we want to. And as long as we are able to acknowledge that, then we aren't going to set ourselves up for a feedback loop that tells us that we're terrible at showing up for people. We don't make things any better. We always make the wrong moves, whatever that may be. You know, kind of see some of those other episodes that we talked about, some of the messages we get from other people that feeds into. So let's say, like, all right, you do care. You do want to help this other person. And let's say that you are in a place where emotionally, like, okay, like whatever's going on with me, it isn't so loud right now, and I can pay attention to this other person and show up for them. So the first thing that we're going to want to do whenever we approach this person is we need to recognize that the emotional experience that they're having is in some way, it's in some way okay. Not necessarily that they're experiencing that, but it's normal in the way that they are having an emotional experience. Because often what happens is we approach someone that's having really high emotions, really loud emotions, and what we want to do is we want to turn the volume down on it. We want to get them to stop feeling that way. And the challenge is whenever we approach a situation like that, when we approach an emotional experience like that, and we try our best to turn down the volume, often what happens to their emotional experience is it will turn up in intensity, because remember, their emotions, just like your own, are trying to get them to do something. They're trying to warn them about something. They're trying to make something happen. So if we're turning the volume down on them, or we're attempting to do that, then we're trying to stifle the emotional response that's going on. And that's not necessarily what we want to do. If we want to help somebody with their own emotional experience, what we want to do is be able to enter that space and try to actually help them express what's going on, right? So we want to actually try to be as curious as we can be. And our main tool for this, when we start to ask them about what's going on, is we want to look for something about their emotional experience and what they're expressing to us that we can validate. So validate is a, I feel like it's a very common word now, but I want to express to you like what it actually is. So validation is not agreeing with somebody, with something that's going on. Validation is just an acknowledgement that what they're saying makes sense in some way, or you understand it. And acknowledging what is going on right now, what you're seeing right now. It's basically allowing you to give them the signal that you're on the same page. And this is where the caring part really comes in. When you validate and you actually care about somebody, then it starts to feel like you're being authentic. And when you're being authentic and you're validating, it starts to decrease their emotional response because it feels like the signal is getting through to somebody else. Now, remember, you don't have to agree with the signal. Right. The example that I give my clients a lot, you know, we go with extremes sometimes with examples, and this is most certainly an extreme example, is that I could sit in the room with a terrorist and I can validate and I can start to understand why they're doing what they're doing. What I know culturally, what I know historically about the things that are going on, and what I know about their own beliefs, I can validate why they might feel they need to go into a crowded street of people and blow themselves up, or why they might need to enact some type of act of terror. Right? I can validate that, but it doesn't mean that I agree with it. Right? My son last night, so there's the extreme example, less extreme, right? My son last night tells me that, you know, he set this game board out and he starts playing it and it's time for bed. I tell him, like, okay, we got to put it up, but he wants to play it. And I go, well, you can't leave it in the middle of the floor because your sister, who wakes up before you, is going to wreck it. And he starts going into extreme distress over this, that his game is going to get wrecked. So if I am trying to show up for him, I want to be able to validate that, like, yeah, like, that sucks. You want to be able to leave this here, and you want your game to be safe from your sister. And the fact that it's not, and you got to go to bed and you don't really know what to do. Whew. Yeah. That is really tough, right? That's scary, right? Or frustrating, or whatever emotion I'm seeing, right? I want to try to be able to name, unless they vocalize it, right? If someone says they're frustrated, and I want to validate that. But in this case, as my son, he was not vocalizing something. And then eventually he gave me, like, yeah, I'm really angry. And so, like, all right, like, let me validate that anger. Now, do I agree that he's angry in that moment? No. Like, I want him to stop doing what he's doing so that we can go to bed, right? So that he can get to bed on time. But at the end of the day, if I'm trying to help him with that big emotion he's having there, which is what I want to do, right? He's my son. I do care about what's going on. Then I can validate that anger. And again, not agreeing with it, but validate it so that the anger response that's coming up, that's trying to get some type of message through about how unfair this is, about like how he doesn't want this game that he set up to be ruined, to be not completed. Whenever I can validate that, then I'm increasing the likelihood that he can pivot to an either deeper emotion or pivot to something like problem solving. So my son's not a robot, so he can't quickly pivot from one emotional place to another. And guess what? If you're listening to this, you're not a robot either, so you can't quickly pivot to one emotional place to another. So the validation technique might have to be used several times. Whenever I'm working with a client and they're having really loud emotions, I'm usually looking to validate somebody's emotional experience 3 to 5 times. If I can validate that, then what I'm trying to do is help suck that emotional intensity out to let that emotional response know that I get it, so that it doesn't have to keep on getting louder in that moment. It doesn't have to keep on expressing itself in that way. And again, so like after I do this with my son, I validate, yeah, like this is really unfair. You want to be able to stay up and play with this. I get that. And like you get frustrated. You don't want your sister to wreck this. You worked really hard on setting this game out. Yeah, like that sucks. Like this isn't great. Then that's whenever he gives me the angry, like, yeah, of course you're angry. How could you not be? You wanted to finish this game and now it's bedtime. And whew, man, that's really tough, bud. Like, how could you not be angry with that? And, you know, I'm kind of angry for you that this happens. So whenever I go through and I validate that a couple times, his body position starts to shift and I could see his shoulders start to slump. And, you know, he tells me like, you know, Dad, I'm sad that I can't just leave this stuff out and that it would be wrecked by Hannah. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So now my focus is going to validate the sadness. Again, I don't have to agree with it, but I can validate it. Like, yeah, man, that makes sense. Like, you used to not have to do this. You used to be able to leave these things out and be able to get them to them in the morning. And yeah, like it gets sad. You love having your baby sister, but it gets sad that you can't leave these things out because she could wreck it. And it's sad because you worked so hard on it. All right. And you wanted to continue this in the morning. So after I validate that, then it's a lot easier for him to move to the problem solving. And there's sometimes where I instigate this. Last night just so happened that he instigated it. And he goes, well, can we move it? You know, can we move it somewhere? I go, yeah, we can move it to the dining room table here. Let me help you do that. So he goes from loud emotion to this problem solving area that I wanted him to originally be in the course of maybe a minute, minute and a half. And when we're showing up for someone that's really having loud emotions, we want to be able to, we want to care. We want to be able to keep our own emotions in check. Because really, I was angry at my son because I had told him many times, right? I gave him a 10-minute warning, 5-minute warning for getting ready for bed, and it didn't happen. But the thing is, if I would have had an angry response, I would have just hit up against his anger. And I would have either had to get louder to try to smush out his anger to get him to do what I wanted to, which would not have been a pleasant experience for either of us, or I would have had to just sit here and wait out his tantrum. This provided a space where I could help him move emotionally through his experience quicker. Now, I'm giving the example of my son, but just because I do the same thing, whether or not it's my wife, my clients, or anyone else, the validation helps suck out the emotional intensity because they get the sense that somebody else gets it. They don't have to be as loud because another body, another nervous system, another brain understands. And that doesn't mean that it goes quiet. Right, like my son's nervous system went quiet pretty quickly last night. But like, let's say someone's going through really high emotion. They just found out that their spouse cheated on them, or you know, they just lost their job, or whatever it may be. Then we can do the validation and help them. But a lot of this is just us being able to be as present as possible with them, and being able to validate, acknowledge that experience often. We want to move into that problem solving quicker than is necessary, right? And often we want to do this because of our own issues, our own difficulty in sitting in tough emotions, right? We talked a little bit about this in previous episodes, right? If you can sit in tough emotions, it becomes easier for you to sit with somebody that has a really intense emotional reaction and to know that you don't have to solve it, or you can give them plenty of time before you swap over to problem solving, if that even has to happen, if it even has to happen. Because often what we're trying to do is help a person's nervous system have enough time to calm down so that that prefrontal cortex, this is the smartest area of the brain where the most complex thought takes place, where, you know, you're planning and you're able to execute. And, right, if we're wanting to solve some type of problem, this is a place that we're wanting somebody to be. But when someone has an emotional experience, this is the very first places that resources get taken away from. They go into more primitive areas of the brain to respond quicker to a threat. But the more time that we give that nervous system through validation, acknowledgement, just being there, allowing somebody to have that emotional experience, and we can help them explore that a little bit if we so choose, using some of the things that we've talked about in the other episodes, right? When we talked about the fishing episode, and being able to hover around in different emotional experiences, if a person is calm enough, we can actually help them use that same technique to explore different emotional pieces. Now, this is something you'd have to be really comfortable with. And it's most certainly something I would not encourage you to do with someone that you don't know right away, right? You'd want to get some practice with it, right? But if someone's going through a really tough emotional experience and like they're angry, then they kind of really hand over to you. Let's go with the loss of a job. And actually, let's actually go more intense. Let's go with, that's definitely intense enough, actually. Someone loses a job and you're talking to a friend or a spouse, and they're just talking about how mad they are about it, right? Validate 3 to 5 times. Yeah, like, this is unfair. It sucks. No wonder you're angry, because you're setting aside this money and you had these hopes for being able to do this. This interruption in pay, it's really like, yeah, how could you not be angry that this happened? It happened at the worst time, too. When we can validate a few times, and if we see the emotion sucks out of it, we can also toss in something, right? This is that fishing part where it's like, and it's scary, right? Not to know what's going to happen when you might not get a job. And if they bite on it, great. If they don't and they continue back with the anger, then we know that we need to hover around that place longer, right? We need to validate more. We need to acknowledge. We need to talk about that spot more, right? If they're like, hey, you know what? Yeah, it's scary, but really just pisses me off. This came without notice. My boss didn't have any reason. You know, I was a high performer on that team. Then we can go back to like, yeah, you told me about this. You are like, it seems like your boss is totally in the wrong. This isn't right. You know, like, I'm angry with you. Like, I didn't want this to happen to you. And like, this sucks that this is occurring. Like, poof, like, when we can give them that space and sit there, we're encouraging the exploration of that emotional experience by sitting in that anger. And then eventually it becomes energy intensive to sit there. So they'll be more okay or more likely to shift to another place. So if you offer something and it gets shot down right away, that's okay. Just stick with the emotion that's showing up now, and allow them to be in that place, right? Allow the emotional experience to occur. Our job isn't to shift them from the emotional experience in this moment yet. We want to give them enough time, and we test the waters by offering different things, right? So like, if I'm wanting to move to problem solving, then after validating and kind of seeing them start to calm down some, maybe they talk about the fear or something else that's going on, I can test the waters and be like, whew, so what are you going to do? If they're like, I don't know. Oh, I mean, do you have like a resume? And they're like, I don't know. It's just too overwhelming to think about right now. Okay, like, yeah, they're giving you a signal that they're still in it. They're not ready to go to that problem-solving place. So we don't have to continue to push on it. So a lot of helping a person soothe really intense emotional experiences is you being able to ride those waves with them and not being able to force their nervous system to turn too quickly away from something. we have the urge to do this quickly because we want things to happen on our time frame. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I want my son to get done with being angry as quickly as possible. The challenge is it's not a very compassionate approach, and it's an approach that actually just makes their emotional experience often louder, or we can send them the unintentional messages that their emotional experience is not okay, that they're abnormal, that they're somehow broken for having these loud emotions, which just actually makes their emotional experience louder. Or they may do something even worse. They may stop having loud emotional experiences on the outside, have loud emotional experiences on the inside and never express them, and go through a lot of internal turmoil because they've gotten signals that it's not okay. So we're encouraging emotional expression, and we are allowing them to dictate how long we sit in something. This can be uncomfortable because we might not have the time to actually be able to do this, right? So if I'm getting on the, a plane and I can't sit there and humor my son's temper tantrum, okay, like this can't be perfect all the time, right? We can't always allow for that, but we can put like some type of placeholder or do our best, be like, hey, I want to be able to talk about this, bud, but we can't do this right now. We have to be able to get on the plane. I'm going to have to pick you up. I don't really want to do this, and I'm sorry that I have to, but we have to get on the plane, and we could talk more about this on the plane. Sorry, buddy. Scoop him up. Right. So there are times where emergencies dictate that we can't emotionally process things to the depth that we want to. And often what we want to do is the next time that we have the opportunity, jump back into it so that we can allow that emotional experience to really be fleshed out. And if it's gone by then, cool. That happens often. Someone cuts me off in traffic, I may be mad for a couple minutes and then I'm okay because I've forgotten about it or something else has occurred, whatever. And that's just a normal flow of emotions. But the way that we show up for somebody is by really, really doing our best to ride those emotional waves with them, validating, acknowledging, just being you in that moment. You're not there to solve something that's going on. Remember, often emotional experiences, that they're not logical. And often they may not make logical sense. They make emotional sense with what's going on. So if we try to attack this emotional space with logic, often we're going to be fighting a losing battle. So if we want the nervous system to calm down quickly and we want to help the person that's having a loud emotional reaction to something, we want to be able to show up in that way. We'll talk a lot more this next episode about how to show up for someone that's specifically that is angry and that emotion, because this is usually the emotional response that's most scary for people. And so I want to get a lot more specific about that one. And I'm glad that we get the chance to talk about this. And again, this is a little bit of shift because now we're focusing on someone else's emotional experience. But notice how we want to appraise our own emotional experience to see and acknowledge how far we can step into this. As a parent, if I'm trying to step in to regulate my son, but my nervous system isn't in the right place, I can tag out, my wife can help if that's an option right there. It's important to have that self-acknowledgement. Or if that's not an option, just to be able to acknowledge that I'm not going to be able to show up probably the way that I want to. I'm going to try my best. That way, if things do go sideways, I can be like, felt like that's not how I wanted it to. And I can bring that back up later with my kids. Right? I can come back and circle back to that. That way they know that I wasn't really happy with how that went. I wasn't really happy with my part in that. I didn't like to get angry or I didn't like to shout at you there. And emotional experiences, whenever there's a negative interaction, often we choose not to bring things up because we are afraid that things will get worse if we do that. And sometimes that's true. So this is kind of a format to think about to enter back into it, a conversation where things were emotionally difficult. You can use the same moves there. But again, we'll talk a lot more about how to show up for someone that their emotional experience is really angry, right? It shows off, shows with that kind of flavor of emotion and how to engage specifically with that. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate you. And, you know, I just have to say, like, I appreciate so much the effort that people are putting into working on their own emotional experience. I've shared it before, and I want to share it again. Like, my own curiosity, my own emotional experience is, like, really centered in looking at my own intentions behind things, which is just something that I've become so curious in, just as a Christian, like, being able to ask those types of questions and explore those. And you don't really have to be someone as faith, you know, of someone with faith to be able to do that. Although, you know, those of us that are Christians are highly not only encouraged, but it's something that we are called to do, to be able to do this. So if you're listening to this and you're a Christian, this is most certainly type of work that you should be doing. And if you're not a Christian, this is something that is healthy for you to do, just as far as having the best possible mental health that you can. Because if you're in a good mental health place, you're going to be more likely to be able to show up for other people emotionally, and you're going to feel better about yourself, being able to be that person that others can count on in these situations of crises and difficulty. And it makes you feel better that you don't have to respond in a way that doesn't feel good, like being angry or being, you know, filled with shame and regret or shutting down or, you know, just withdrawing from any all conflict or anything like that. But again, we'll talk more about this. And I look forward to talking to you all next time. Until then, take care. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.